Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. Parker Kelly on the ones and twos. Final hour on this Wednesday. We're getting back into the Titans here. Titans are 0-4. They've lost 10 straight games. They are 3-18 under Brian Callahan, and they are 9-36 in their last 45 games. This team needs a win. They've got Arizona on the road this week. And the Cardinals, they're not. The Cardinals are not a world beater out there.
This is shaping up to be a rock fight.
Right. This is a game that you're not projected to win. I don't think there's many games you will be projected to win. Saints at home is the only one that you can look at and say maybe you
get a preseason, that's it.
Right. Right now, that's the only one I look at and say, yeah, Titans might be the better team in that matchup, which it's still close. But this is a game that if you go play good football, you can win.
They absolutely can win this game.
And you have to show some progress. Yep. Like, this team seemingly has gotten worse in every single game. Like, the Broncos game, you look at it and you're like, man, we were a couple of plays, a couple bad decisions away from winning that game.
Yep.
The Rams game, it's like, yeah, we were in it, and then they pulled away. Colts game, you weren't very good.
Nope.
And then the Texans game, you couldn't move the ball on offense whatsoever.
Nope.
You got to start to head back in the other direction.
Yep.
I think the biggest thing this week is, can J.C. Latham come back?
Well, like, it's important.
That could make this offense, that could give this offense a jolt that they desperately need.
Because they're not getting back to Vondre Sweat. He's on IR, so that's an impossibility. Look, if you watched the Cardinals' last game, which they made interesting late, who did they lose to?
They lost to the Seahawks on Thursday night. Yep.
Yeah. But if you watched that game, they were getting booed.
Yes.
They were getting booed.
They did not score a touchdown until the final, like, 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and Marvin Harrison Jr. has been a train wreck until, like, the fourth quarter.
He made two really big catches down the stretch.
Yes, he'd had a bunch of drops this year, and it'd been kind of a no-show.
James Conner's out for the season.
Yeah, I mean, and Kyler Murray is Kyler Murray. He's glimpses of brilliance and a lot of average. So it's absolutely a game you can win. I'm going to let the inner Chicago Bears fan in me come out now, okay? Your Titans defense, you know, the Titans special teams, you know your offense is struggling. Is it fair to you? No, it's not. It doesn't matter. You have to do more.
Yep.
It's not good enough to say, well, we kept them in the game. You need to say, we need to put points on the board.
Yeah.
They do.
No, they do.
They need to put points on, whether it's scoring or getting a turnover in the red zone or something. They need to make one play on defense and one play on special teams that flips the field or gets them in the end zone. Okay?
Right.
Because if you're going to count on your offense to come out and put 25 points on the board, you're barking up the wrong tree. They're not ready to do that yet. And so you have to put it on yourselves. This is an average football team we're playing. We have to do more.
It's a very good point because this offense is not good enough. I said earlier, they're not good enough to sustain drives. Do you see the Titans offense going 70 yards for a touchdown three times in a game yet?
No.
That's not going to happen.
They had the ball for 22 minutes Sunday.
Less than 14 heading into the fourth quarter, by the way. It was the time of possession was 31-14 heading into the fourth quarter. The Titans are not a team that is going to be able to go up and down the field and score 20 points all by themselves. You are right. Like, either you need a return from Chim Dike that gets you in the end zone, or sets you up, blocked punt, or a turnover inside the 25, a pick six. You need your defense and special teams to basically gift wrap your offense 10 points.
Yes.
On Sunday to have.
And you can say, well, that's not fair. Or that's an unreasonable expectation.
I mean, it's not fair, but like,
no, that's where they're at.
That's how you have to win.
That's where they're at. And that's why, like, last week we said Jeffrey Simmons needed to be the best player on the field, and he was.
Yep.
And he was. And he got a sack, and he had several tackles in the backfield. And when they played in Denver, he got the strip sack and set the offense up for points. They need more of that. And, you know, I'm certainly not going to pick on Jeff because he's been great. They need more guys. They need L'Jarius Sneed to get his hands on the football, all right?
Yep.
They need Amani Hooker, who just got paid, to get his hands on the football. I've seen him trailing in coverage quite a bit.
He has been a step late on almost every play this year.
That's got to end. He's got to be better.
Yep.
They've all got to be better. They need to, and this is a broken record for me, make plays. They need to make plays that just don't make it second and six. They need to make plays that change the game.
Yes.
All right? And, you know, you say, well, you can't do too much, blah, blah, blah. You have to blow stuff up. All right? You have to blow stuff up. Kevin Byard in Los Angeles on Monday Night Football jumps a route.
Takes it back.
Puts the game away in the first quarter.
Right.
In the first quarter. He made a play. He made a judgment, and a smart judgment, because he's a smart player, and he changed the game. And they need plays that change the game. That, look, I'm all about doing your job. But that also means whipping the guy in front of you.
Right. And you look at Sunday's game against the Texans, it should have been 6-6.
Yeah.
Late in that game. Like, Joey Sly should have made those two field goals. You were status quo. You were in that game. You can't have the status quo right now as the team.
No.
Like, you gotta, you can't just hang in there, because it's been proven this year, last year, that even the games that you're in late, you don't have the ability to finish those games.
You will find a way to lose rather than find a way to win.
Right. You need to go out there and throw the first punch on Sunday. Like, yeah. I think that's
and the second.
Right. we talked about how last year Vanderbilt against Alabama went down, scored a touchdown, got a pick six, you're up 13-0. I'm not saying you need that immediately, but you need to go out there and assert your will on the Cardinals. Like, because if you just kind of go about your business, you're going to lose again.
Well, and I will tell you this. If you don't even have to be winning at halftime, all right? If it's 7-7 at the half, the Cardinals will get booed off the field.
Yeah. No, that is, it's true.
They will. Their fans know that they're playing an 0-4 team.
Yes.
All right? So you don't have to put them away in the first half, but you got to be there at halftime, and they've largely been there at halftime this year, but they need to show they can move the football. And if they can look like the better team for the first 30 minutes, the Cardinals will get booed off the field.
Yes, the Titans are at the point where they're supposed to be everybody's get-right game.
Yep.
And you are the team that other teams' fans will boo if their team is tied or losing to you. Like, that's how bad it's been. But the Titans, you're right. Like, they have to play well early in that game, be in the game, and then you need a couple of big plays.
Yeah, I mean, be locked in.
Yeah.
Be ready to go when it starts, because, you know, Nico Collins scares you, all right? I mean, regardless of how bad the Texans' offensive line is and that C.J. Stroud hasn't been the same player as
right.
he was the rookie, Nico Collins is a problem. Marvin Harrison Jr. is their best and hasn't proven he's a problem yet.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, if you can get them chasing, you should be in business.
Right.
You should be in business.
And the Cardinals are coming off long rest. They haven't had to travel, so they had their mini bye this past week after the Thursday night game. That could be a factor, but the Titans, I mean, this team, they're desperately in need of a win. You need to see a ball go through the hoop. Like,
yeah.
Because it's not going to... You can't win four games in 1 week.
No.
You got to win one to just start to get the vibes and the feelings around this place back in a better direction.
Well, you've got to give yourself a reason to believe.
Right. If you end up 0-7 after that Patriots game, like, I feel like some guys might start to check out. Like, it's just...
Well, I mean, come on, man. We're talking about that now.
Right. I mean, it's October 1st,
yeah,
and we've already had talks about draft and who could be the next head coach plenty of times.
Who's to blame for this season that's a disaster and we're
right.
four games in? I mean, but look, give your team, give your fans, give everybody a reason to believe that, you know, and coaches can always say, well, we see stuff that's better.
Yeah.
Well, you're last in offense.
Right.
So there's not that much that's better. You know, and we can pull all the names back out of the hat and say they need more from this guy, more from this guy, more
right.
from this guy. They just need to be physically stronger at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, okay? Dominate the field and move the ball up and down the field. And again, please take the easy throw on first down.
Yep.
And move the ball down the field and set yourself
You cannot
up.
Have 2nd and 11, 2nd and 12. Or worse.
2nd and 4 is an awesome place to
It
be.
Really is, yeah. Get to 2nd and 4, and your options multiply of what you can do in that spot. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will get to your phones on the text line. Our phone line is driven by Wilson County Hyundai. Jake.com, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. More Titans talk on the other side here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday morning. Few more segments with you. We'll hand it off to Chase and Big Joe at the top of the hour. Brian Callahan going to speak to the media just before noon. 11:50 is what's scheduled, so we will bring that to you live whenever he gets up to the podium. So stay tuned for that. Maybe an injury update on J.C. Latham, which we've talked about how important it is to finally get him back and hopefully fully healthy. We'll see if he's able to get out there on the practice field this week. Also, Tajay Spears. Brian Callahan did mention on Monday that they are opening the practice window for Tajay Spears. And not that I think Tajay Spears is going to be a complete game changer for the Titans getting him back, but I do think, and I mentioned this yesterday, I think the one thing that he can help with, hopefully, is the screen game, because the screen game has been atrocious this season.
Yep.
And maybe getting that guy back can help you turn those from negative plays into plays that can get you in front of the chains or get you a couple of first downs.
You know, sometimes when I watch football, I feel really, really stupid. You know, I mean, just really dumb. Because I watch other teams, and, like, the quarterback turns, and the running back's just out there by himself,
yeah,
and he runs 10 yards for the first down. And I'm like, how come that never happens with the Titans?
Titans just make everything look a lot harder than everybody else.
How come there just isn't a guy standing over there by himself? I think, number one, maybe it's not there, but I think, number two, I don't think they always see it when it is.
Yeah, it's fair that... I think there have been plenty of missed opportunities for the Titans this year. The screen game, when it comes to wide receiver screens, halfback screens, they've all been... I can't even think of one that's gone for positive yardage that has actually stood. There have been two that have gone for first downs, and both have gotten called back for penalties.
Have you got the Titans stats in front of you?
I can get them up.
Look at Chim DK, receptions, and yards. This is going to define it for you.
Chim DK... 5 catches. Oh, my goodness. I had an idea in my head of what it might be, and it's so much worse. 5 catches for 1 yard.
Yeah, it was minus before last week.
Yeah, his longest catch is 8 yards.
So at this point, if you're the opposing team and you know Chim Dike is on the field, you're moving up.
Yeah.
Right? Because you're he's getting the ball behind the line of scrimmage, either in the screen game or in a jet sweep or in a reverse or something. So you play to tendencies.
Yeah.
And so when you're the Titans, the counter to that is to now get Chim Dike down the field. All right. And so they need to use Chim Dike's speed down the field.
Yes.
Down the field.
There are other ways to get the ball in his hands other than just the screen pass.
Yes.
And so far, it feels like, yeah, you're right. It's like when they brought in Cody Hollister under Mike Vrabel. It was like, they're running the football. It's
yes.
Chim DK runs out on the field. All right, get ready for the screen of the jet sweep.
Yeah, that's what we've seen after 4 games. I'm not opposed to giving him the ball on the screen or the jet sweep. I am opposed to being that the only way you get him the football. He is a 4-3, 40 guy. You know, look, you haven't had the time to sit back there and throw the 50-yard bomb.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be that. He can run other patterns where you can get him the football.
Right. And his speed, you can use him on crossing routes. It can be the deep ball, but yeah, you've got to find ways to get Chim Dike the ball where he can use that speed. 5 catches for 1 yard. That is crazy. He has 12 yards after catch.
So he's caught the ball 13 yards behind the line of scrimmage, or 11 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
Yes, yeah.
You know, we haven't talked about for the Cardinals. There are not a lot of ageless wonders in the NFL, especially on the interior. Calais Campbell.
How is that guy still playing football?
39 years old, and he's a problem. He's a problem.
Right.
And for Cam Ward, he's a real problem because
he's huge.
He's like 700 feet tall. I mean, what is he, 6'6"?
I think he's 6'7". That, like,
6'7", yeah. No, I mean, I was watching him Thursday night going, he's one of my favorite players.
6'8".
6'8". He is so destructive. He's a violent player. He's a big man. He's always noticeable.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just goes from team to team to team, And I'm like, why do these teams keep letting him go?
Right. Well, it's one of those things where you see him go to the next team and you're like, oh, you know, veteran journeyman, like he's probably going to take a step back. And he never does. He was good with the Jaguars. He was good with the Ravens. And he's back with the Cardinals. And he's good with them again.
Yeah. It's one of the more impressive runs I've seen.
You're right. It's a very good point with Cam Ward and his sidearm throwing motion of having a big 6'8" Calais Campbell in your face.
Huge
is not
wingspan.
Going to be easy for him to get the ball out over the middle of the field.
Do you think, is Calais Campbell in the Hall of Fame conversation? I mean, I think his long, I mean, he's got some Art Monk to him where the longevity of his projection, Frank Gore, Art Monk, Calais Campbell, the longevity of their production is so far superior to anyone else.
This is
it's part of what makes him impressive.
18th year in the league?
Yeah, I mean, he had a few seasons where in 2018 and 17-18, he went 14.5 sacks, 10.5 sacks. He's got 113.5 career sacks.
Yeah.
Probably another one this weekend. So, I mean,
just the long, like we talked about it with running backs last week of like talking about Chris Johnson. Yeah, I knew you texted it about this, about like, is Chris Johnson a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, no chance.
And we said the longevity wasn't there. But with Calais Campbell, I feel like you have to give him some credit for
his
longevity.
It's like Frank Gore. His longevity, because I don't think Frank Gore is a Hall of Famer. But his longevity is what you can make the argument that he was that productive for that long. And, you know, Calais Campbell, you may not pick out, you know, there's a lot of like 6-sack, 7-sack, 8-sack seasons, but I mean, to do it for 20 years is incredible.
I mean, he obviously has played more years. Like, think of J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt has been retired for 3 years now.
Yeah.
Calais Campbell was in the league 3 years before J.J. Watt.
He's got 3 sacks already this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not slowing down.
Calais Campbell, his next sack will tie him with J.J. Watt for 24th in NFL history.
Yeah.
So I think he is a Hall of Famer.
I do too. I'd vote for him.
PK's
a voter. Maybe he can clear this up for me later today.
It's not going to – I don't think he'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer, obviously. But I do think eventually he gets in just for the body of work overall and what he's done.
Well, he would certainly make it, I would think, on the Veterans Committee. But I think he gets voted in.
And he played in a Super Bowl, right? Like he was on the Ken Wisenhunt Cardinals team, wasn't he?
Probably been around that long, yeah.
Cuz that was 2009?
Yes, that would be his second year in the league.
Yeah.
It's 7 sacks.
Yeah. Calais Campbell played in the Super Bowl with Troy Polamalu and Kurt Warner was on. He was teammates with Kurt Warner. That is,
I mean, I love watching that guy play. There was a Monday night or a Thursday nighter I think it was a Thursday nighter. Titans went to Jacksonville with Mariota.
Yeah,
and Calais Campbell and those guys just beat the daylights out of it.
Right. Well, that 2017 Jags team that went to the AFC Championship game, that was him and who was the guy that signed over with Jacksonville from Denver? He was on the Denver Super Bowl team.
Oh, it's former Tennessee Ball, Malik Jackson.
Malik Jackson, yes.
Yeah.
So they had Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell in the middle. They had a good edge rusher that year, too.
Well, they're always drafting in the top five.
Right. It was pre-Josh Allen, but it was they had a good team that year. Miles Jack, obviously, was on that team. Jalen Ramsey was still there. A.J. Boye was on the other side at corner. Like, it was a really good Jaguars defense.
Yeah, it was Josh Allen, I think.
Was it Josh Allen?
Yeah, I think it was like rookie Josh Allen.
It might have been 2017 Jaguars roster. They had some good safeties on that team too. Like that was Yannick Ngakoue was who I was thinking
Ngakoue,
of. Yes,
yeah.
Yannick Ngakoue.
Was Tayshawn Gibson one of their safeties that year?
Yes, Tayshawn Gibson, Barry Church, and
Barry
then they
Church,
had Boye,
yeah.
Jalen Ramsey.
Boy!
Paul Posluszny was still on that team.
Okay.
So that was a good defense, and Calais Campbell had 14.5 sacks that year.
But Calais Campbell, he's the straw that stirs the drink.
Yes, that is going to be a tough matchup for the Titans.
Just imagine if J.C. Latham plays in this game. I mean, the earth may shake when those two guys
those two
run into
big
each
guys,
other.
Yeah, I mean, it's Godzilla versus King Kong.
It is. They're just going to just chuck boulders at each other.
You said it's going to be a rock fight.
It is.
So we'll see on Sunday.
First one to 17 wins.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be high scoring whatsoever. Titans, we mentioned it. You need the special teams and defense to help out your offense because clearly the offense has
You said 10 points from those two units?
I think they need to gift wrap 10 points. That doesn't mean – That doesn't mean like a pick six.
I agree with that.
You know, set up your offense inside the 30.
If you want to get over 20, you need to gift wrap 10.
Yep. You need your special teams and defense to set up a field goal and a touchdown at the very minimum.
I would agree with those numbers.
Yep.
And I don't care if that's fair or not. It's not a fair world. Go do it.
If you want to win a game, that's kind of what has to happen.
You have to do more. You have, and everybody in that locker room needs to look at themselves. Every unit that when they're in their meetings, they need to look at each other and say, we have to do more. We are not doing enough.
Titans hoping that they can finally get win number one coming up on Sunday. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We got a couple more segments left in the show. Brian Callahan is going to speak roughly at 11:50. We plan to bring that to you live when he steps to the podium, and then we'll hand you off to Chase and Big Joe after that. So we're going to talk Nashville SC coming up next.
All right.
Do you want to give the credit to the boys in gold over there? They are playing for a trophy tonight, the U.S. Open Cup in Austin. We will talk about Nashville SC coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you on this Wednesday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Final half hour on this Wednesday. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Chase and Big Joe coming up at noon. And again, Brian Callahan going to speak to the media at 11:50. We will bring that to you whenever he steps up to the podium. So did want to take this opportunity in this segment to talk about Nashville SC because they are playing for a trophy tonight. They are playing in the U.S. Open Cup Final in Austin. I've seen some Nashville SC people say that this would be the first major championship trophy in city history. Like, would you say that the Western Conference championship for the Preds is more valuable than the U.S. Open Cup Final? Or winning the AFC for the Titans in 99, like, is that more? I don't know. But it is a chance to bring a trophy home, and I know how important that has been for Nashville SC since B.J. Callahan came over. He's talked about that. So an opportunity tonight against Austin to go win a championship in the U.S. Open Cup.
Look, soccer people have always looked at things differently than everybody else does.
Right.
And that's fine.
It's a very different world than major American sports.
Yes, it's that's fine. So we're going to look at it a little differently, all right? Because I would agree with you, you know, the Preds didn't win a trophy. They did win the Western Conference. They did win the President's Trophy.
Right.
Okay? There's value in that. The Titans won the AFC. They've won the AFC South, you know, and they won the AFC going to the Super Bowl.
I think we mentioned this is like the NBA in-season tournament, like winning that. Like, it's something you like to do.
You have to win 5 games.
Right.
And one of them was against a USL team to start with because it's the Open Cup. It's open to all leagues in the country. Before it gets to the MLS level, it starts at the lower levels and kind of filters its way up.
Right.
As an MLS team, you don't join till later on in the
process.
It's
not like you're playing in the first round.
And also, when you're playing in this tournament, not everybody comes with their A game. Not everybody, that the stars don't play the whole shebang. That's just the way it is because you've got to manage your MLS season. Nashville hasn't played their star players the whole way. Now, we've seen a lot of Mukhtar and a lot of Surridge throughout this whole process and a lot of Nandy Nahar, but we've seen a lot of other guys, you know, Chris Applewhite, the 17-year-old, played one of these games.
Right, they have
played their backup goalie in all 4 of these games that they have won. And I was at the presser yesterday. I go to quite a few of them during the season. And, you know, Hani Mukhtar, you know, said it simply. He goes, you know, my understanding is this is the easiest, quickest, this is the quickest path, not easiest, quickest path to a trophy. You just have to win 5 games.
Gotcha.
So yes, it's a trophy. And yes, it's a championship. And I do not want to diminish that whatsoever. It's not the same as winning the MLS Cup. It's not. I will go to my deathbed making that argument.
I think everybody would agree with that, right?
Okay. Like now you beat Philadelphia to get here. And Philadelphia is a team that can definitely contend for it.
Top seed in the Eastern Conference.
But it's not the same because, you know, Inter Miami wasn't in this tournament. They're playing in the League's Cup. All right. And so it's different. It's still a tournament. You're still in it. You're still trying to win it. And it's great. But I don't agree with the chest pounding of first championship for a
the
major
city. Yeah.
It's not. It's a trophy. It's wonderful. I will celebrate it with them if they win and congratulate them for it. But it's not the same as winning your league.
Right. It's important to celebrate it because it is a big deal.
Yes.
But, like, that's... I would say that the soccer people, like, let's not try and compare it to the other stuff that's going on.
I would say let's just enjoy it for what
right,
it is.
Right, exactly.
What it is. And what it is a chance to – there is a tournament that goes on during the season, and there are several. There are several tournaments, and it's a matter of which ones you're in and which ones you can advance in. And they have taken this tournament seriously from the get-go. They made the decision they wanted to win this tournament when the season started.
Yeah.
And so that's awesome. That's awesome, and that they're there, and that they've had so many players contribute to that. It hasn't just been Surridge and Mukhtar. They've had other players score in these games. They've had Schwakey, like I said, in goal, and they've still been able to manage to stay very competitive in MLS along the way while playing these extra games. So it is tremendous. I think it's great. Playing all these one-off games, you know, they're all elimination games, is great practice going into the MLS Cup. In the tournament. And so I think, you know, they've got a lot of veteran players who've played a lot of soccer. And so they'll be ready for tonight. And so, you know, I think it's all good training going into the postseason, which is right around the corner.
Yep. Only two more matches in the regular season. So if you want a chance to get some momentum and, you know, feel good heading into the postseason. Right now, Nashville is the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, but I'm looking at it, it's like the Eastern Conference and the Western
Conference.
Conference
is loaded.
It's almost completely different because Austin, who Nashville's playing tonight, they're the sixth seed in the Western Conference.
But they've got 44 points.
Yeah, they have nine less points than Nashville does.
That's basically three wins. And Nashville's doing it against the East. I mean, okay, who's first in the Eastern Conference? Philadelphia still?
Yes, Philadelphia has 63 points.
You know what Nashville's record is against Philadelphia this year?
Yeah, you said, what, 3-0?
3-0.
Yeah.
3-0. All right. So, you know, they've lost a couple you'd like to not lose. But, I mean, they're facing good teams all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And so, if I were Nashville, I would feel very good. Their players, you can stack up with anybody. And it's not just Mukhtar and Surridge. Surridge has, I think, 22 goals this year. Wow. He could the gold boot goes to the leading goal scorer every year. That could be decided the final game of the year when Nashville takes on Miami with Surridge and Messi, which would be really exciting to see. But it's not just those guys. Jason Palacios is a Colombian defender who's come in and played exceptionally well for this team. Andy Nahar has been outstanding. You could argue Andy Nahar has been this team's MVP.
Yeah.
He has been utterly spectacular. I mean, watching him, I was like, this guy has changed this team as much as anybody. And then you've got Eddie Tagzeth and Gaston Brugman in the middle, Patrick Yazbek in the middle, and some of these guys who've really changed the midfield for this team as well. You know, it's like the year the Titans, you know, nail free agency and, like, you know, all the guys, you know, Ben Jones and Delaney Walker and all, you go, oh, yeah, they nailed it. They nailed free agency.
Right.
Year.
I mean, I remember the conversation around Nashville SC right before they hired BJ Callahan was like, man, this team's in a rough spot.
They were terrible.
And they
went 3 months without winning a match last year.
And then they have just completely 180 turned it around.
They went 3 months without losing a match this year.
excited for tonight. Again, U.S. Open Cup final between Nashville and Austin. And you said, at least on paper, Nashville should be the favorite.
They are a heavy favorite in this game. It was funny at the presser. The last question Andy Nahar got asked by a reporter was, is there any thought of the embarrassment of losing this game when you're such an overwhelming favorite to win it? And I give Hani credit. He chuckled at the question and said, well, that's why you play the game, isn't it?
Right.
And he's absolutely right. It was a funny question, and it was a good answer. You know, look, they won their way here just like Nashville did.
Right.
Okay. And they are going to go to the playoffs just like Nashville is. So, and they're home. Okay. So, you know, can Nashville lose this game? Absolutely. It's going to be a lower scoring game, at least I expect it to be, than Nashville's accustomed to, because Austin can really pack it in defensively.
Right.
So two goals, you hope, is enough to win you this game. And so when you get the early in the season, Nashville wasn't always finishing. And when they started finishing, really golden opportunities, then they started putting teams away. And they're finishing really well right now, so that's got to continue tonight. They get a couple of good opportunities, they got to put them in the net and then lock it in.
Yeah, it was. What's the old adage of like, we were the better team on paper, but unfortunately the game was played on grass. Yeah. Like that. Hopefully Nashville SC can hold on as the overwhelming favorite tonight against Austin and bring home the U.S. Open Cup. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will get back to the Titans coming up next and lead you into Brian Callahan's press conference, his Wednesday press conference, hopefully going to get some injury updates, maybe see if J.C. Latham can get back out on the field this week. Final segment of the show coming up. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Parker had to sneak it in here.
You really thought we'd go the whole show without it?
I mean, I guess not. Parker's got his Cubs jersey on. Cubs playing coming up at 2 o'clock, looking to sweep the Padres, move on to face the Milwaukee Brewers in the NLDS. My Tigers are about 20 minutes from getting underway, and you can actually listen to that game on 94.9 The Fan if you'd like to. That is over on 94.9 The Fan on the Game Nashville Sports Network. Chase and Big Joe are coming up after us here on 102.5 The Game. We're getting ready for Brian Callahan's press conference here ahead of Wednesday practice. We will bring that to you live when he steps to the podium. Corey, we had a conversation yesterday about a Mike Florio article, and I wanted to get your thoughts.
Okay.
So Mike Florio wrote an article called "The Brian Callahan Watches On" Monday about, you know, when is he going to be let go? And he had a note in there, and there was no sourcing on this. It was more speculation of, could the Titans do what the Colts did in 2022 and look outside for an interim hire? And he mentioned Mike McCarthy. And I don't understand.
There's a lot of fans bringing up that name.
Right. I don't know if you could logistically bring in Mike McCarthy midseason, because he's not going to come be the interim without guarantees that he's going to be the head coach.
Well, that's what I say. I don't think you could bring him in to be the interim. You'd have to hire him.
And wouldn't you have to satisfy the Rooney Rule to do that?
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to, like, you could interview Denard, and you could interview
Tyke Tolbert or something, like
Bones,
on your, right?
And you could, you know, interview somebody outside the organization who's not coaching right now. You could,
right,
Gruden.
Yeah, I guess if they wanted to do that, it wouldn't be the first time that coaching hire has been a sham. But like,
and you'd have to do that on the bye week,
right?
I mean,
that was the point that he made, is like, if they are going to try and get someone from the outside, it would take more than just a couple of days to get all of that in order.
Look, I don't like to speculate about coaching changes because these are livelihoods for people,
right?
But if you're going to go outside the organization, I'd go with something you know.
Yeah.
And I would call Mike Mularkey or Mike Munchak and say, hey, we need you for the rest of the year. And that if that's what they wanted to, I don't think that's what they'll do.
I think
if
it's,
they make a change,
it's going to be Mike McCoy or Bones Fossil.
Yeah, I would agree with
like,
that.
But I thought that was just interesting that Florio put that in there of like, hey, it might take a couple of weeks to get that in order if they were planning on that, which is true.
And maybe those wheels are already in motion. I mean, who knows?
We have no idea what's going on.
I mean, look, even if they get things turned around and going in a better direction.
Yep.
And teams do it. It happens. The Lions did it. All right? I mean, the Lions were awful the first year. They didn't start great the second year.
Right.
And they got it turned around.
Right. They won their last seven games or whatever back in 2022.
But even if they get it turned around, you know, what are they're 0-4, so there's 13 games left. You five,
right? They're not going to go above 500 the rest of the year.
No,
but yeah, if you
mean,
can,
you're thinking 5-12.
That seems like the best case scenario at this point.
And you still have a decision to make,
right? Because we did say before the season, like, there is a path for Brian Callahan to only win 5 or 6 games and keep his job.
Yeah,
it's all about the quarterback.
And right now we're not seeing enough from the quarterback where you would say, well, we got to keep the guys in place. He needs to show more. The team needs to show more. Everybody needs to show more.
Same conversation we've been having. Titans need to get a win. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you have any final thoughts for us. We are waiting for Brian Callahan to take the podium for his weekly press conference. Do want to mention for tomorrow, Teron Davenport going to
TD.
Be with us for all 3 hours.
By the way, TD is a part of TN Nation every week.
Yes, so make sure you tune in on News 2. So TD will be with us for the full show tomorrow. We'll give you your chance to talk to TD, ask your questions for Teron at 10 o'clock. Andrew Allegretta from Vandy Football going to join us at 11 to preview that huge Vanderbilt-Alabama game. But again, TD with us for the full show tomorrow. Brian Callahan going to step to the podium. I don't really know if there's a whole lot that he can say that he hasn't said on Monday, but I think injury updates is the big one. And maybe just more about how the play calling can evolve after 1 week of Bo Hardigree.
I think J.C. Latham's a big question.
Right.
And then the other thing is, how do you get his completion percentage closer to 60%?
The statistics don't look good for Cam Ward. I know the stats aren't everything. You have to watch the game. You can't scout a box score. But it's like they're so bad that it's like, are you concerned about it?
Well, you have to be, because you can't stay on the field for more than 22 minutes right. by completing 40% of your passes.
Yep.
All right? So to move the chains consistently, that completion percentage needs to be 50% higher.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's what they got to figure out. How do we complete more passes? That doesn't mean completing one-yard passes.
Right. You don't want to complete passes just for the sake of completing passes.
Exactly. You know, how do we move the ball down the field, matriculate the ball down the field, and then set ourselves up for shots? Because, you know, it's what you do underneath that sets you up for over the top.
Right.
And they haven't done enough underneath to set themselves up for over the top at this point.
Right.
But so to me, that's one of the big questions. And then they'll probably also ask him, how do you deal with, you know, is this where you're, this is like a Bo Nix game?
Yeah.
Where your ends really need to hem in Kyler Murray.
Yeah. No, that is a good point, because Kyler Murray, as we've seen, he's one of those guys who, when he gets out of the pocket, kind of similar to Cam Ward, of just like, he's got that feel for the spacing on the field, and he can make those throws that a lot of other guys can't make. But yes, when you make him play from the pocket, he's pretty
well
average.
I think he likes to play from the pocket, truthfully. I don't think he wants to be a big runner. But when he gets out there, he's like one of those, remember those penny racers where you just pull him back? And I mean, he's something.
He is.
He's something.
I always look back at, I think they were playing the Raiders a couple years ago. He had that two-point attempt where it felt like he held the ball for 15 seconds and then somehow was able to find a guy in the end zone for a touchdown.
And then he beat the Bills.
Hail Murray.
To Hop.
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Kyler Murray, no one's going to mistake Kyler Murray for an elite quarterback in this league.
No.
But again, it's not like you're playing Spencer Rattler.
No. And their receiving core, you know, they need more from Marvin Harrison Jr. on a regular basis.
Yep.
And your mission has to be to get in his head in the first quarter and take him out of the game.
Right.
Because it's been shown you can do that.
Yeah.
And so that's really on Legarius Sneed. Take this kid out of the game. Make them look elsewhere, because their elsewhere doesn't scare you very much. Although we haven't talked about Trey McBride, who's a very
right,
good
who's
tight
a
end.
Very he is a very good player.
Yes.
And you're right about Sneed. We said after the Rams game, where we said that was the best game he's played as a Titan, that he's got to show that again. I think Sunday was the worst game he's played as a Titan. He's got to be able to bounce back from that and have a better game on Sunday.
And you say he's got to show that again. He's going to be better than that.
Right. I mean,
He's got to be better. He has to push this team forward.
Well, it's funny we talk about box score scouting. If you look at the stats of, like, when Legarius Sneed was lined up in coverage against the Rams, those stats didn't look good. But if you watch the game, he was a factor, and he played well. The Texans, I saw somebody tweet, like, why are people saying Sneed had such a bad game? He only gave up 2 catches for 49 yards. If you take out the 37, I'm like, did you not watch the Ross Tucker basically telling everybody that the whole team was playing man and Legarius Sneed was playing zone and let Nico Collins run free? Like, he wasn't primary coverage there, but he was supposed to be covering that guy.
Yeah, it's, you know, you need him to be a star player.
Right. I mean, that's what you trade and give all that money to that guy, to be a star player.
Yep.
Brian Callahan still has not stepped to the podium, so we will step aside, hand it off to Chase and Big Joe. They're coming up. They will have Brian Callahan's press conference whenever he does get up over there at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park. Corey, thanks for coming by.
My pleasure. Hopefully my voice will be in a better place next week.
Yeah, we will see you next week on Wednesdays. Always a pleasure. Parker Kelly, I'm Jake Lyman, signing off here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.
Go Cubs.